The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
Now, Lisa Ross is with me. Lisa is the founder of Lock Arms for Life. She is that person I mentioned who has turned personal tragedy into a campaign for greater gun safety and greater awareness about safe handling of guns. Lisa, you're welcome to our makeshift studio. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
For joining us. So you might tell us a little bit about where all this comes from, the genesis of it. Tell us about John.
All right. Yeah, I'll give you a little bit of a history lesson here. How about that? So, yes, my name's Lisa Ross, and I am the founder of Lock Arms for Life. So in 2009, my son was a college student up in North Carolina. He had gone over to see a hip hop performer at the time. I don't know if y'all are familiar. I'm trying to even think who the hip hop performer was, but that's beside the point. Afterwards, he decided to go over to his friend's house, like kind of like what college students do. And when he got over to the friend's, there were two firearms. One was fully loaded, had a bullet in the chamber, and the other one was not. John is left-handed, but one of his friends decided to hand it to him. So I don't know if there was something else in his hands during the time or what, but he had it in his right hand. That was according to the autopsy report that I read. And he had it pointed towards him, and it discharged, and it killed him. So he obviously had his finger laced to the trigger. The whole point of why I did and started my organization is because had that gun been stored safely, locked away, you know, my son would be walking around and alive today. So it set me on a mission of making sure that every gun is locked when not in use. And that is what our organization and that's what we've done. Some history about me is that I didn't exactly know where I fit in because my family does own firearms. Mm. So I have a son who does hunting and likes to go out deer, hogs, birds, you name it. He just loves to go and do that. And so I really had to figure out where was I stood in this realm of safety and firearm storage and Second Amendment rights and, you know, the whole genre of everything that was going on. So I joined every organization I could think of.
Okay.
So I went like to—
On all sides of the
on
spectrum.
On all sides. Yes, exactly. I joined NRA. I joined, you know, Giffords, Moms Demand Action, Every Town for Gun Safety. You name it. I joined it. And because, you know, to me, you know, this is an issue where you need to understand— in order to speak to an audience, and it, just like anything else in life, you need to have the facts and you need to understand what everybody believes and thinks in order for you to be able to educate and talk to people. My goal, though, the entire time, ever since my son died, was that I knew that I wanted to educate young adults because they would become our future gun owners. And so that was always what was at the core of what I was doing. I didn't want another parent to feel my pain. I knew that if I could educate them, that maybe we could start preventing these tragedies that were happening.
So, because I've been, you know, reading about the work you do and your own story, and my sense of it as well is much like you say, it's that I guess there's a temptation in all of this to try and decide, you know, is this person kind of, you know, pro-gun or anti-gun? You know, we kind of like to compartmentalize everybody. And my sense, like I say, of what you've done is almost kind of tried to plow this middle ground to a degree, as in, you know, that idea that we don't live in the world we want, we live in the world as it is, and we have to deal with the world as it is.
Absolutely.
And you need to recognize, well, listen, the guns are there, so let's just deal with that reality.
I mean, I brought some paperwork with me too, but I mean, literally, and I'm not a real big stat person because that is just not how I operate, but on that, I just read even this morning. So since Columbine in here, when Columbine happened in 1999.
It's 25 years this Saturday,
yes.
I think.
Okay, so 245 million guns have been sold since then.
Wow.
So when you think about that perspective of how many guns are in our market, and that is just since 1999, no telling, you know, even before that, who might have owned even before then. So knowing that that's the kind of numbers that we have, yeah, you're not going to eliminate, ban, get rid of firearms. So you have to come up with a solution. And I just felt like I wanted something tangible. I wanted something that people really could embrace and do and still not feel threatened, not feel villainized for owning a firearm.
So tell me about the work then, Lock Arms for Life. Like, what is it that you seek to to do? What's the message for these kind of young adults and teens that you're going out and speaking to?
So we have what we call an educational program. So where I saw a big niche in the hole in what was going on is there were programs out there that were educating parents of young children, but there was nobody who was educating teens, high school students, and young adults, college-age kids. And so I was like, I can't believe that we're
the
not.
Kids who are most reckless.
Right.
You know, when it comes to their own safety.
Exactly.
Which is true, you know, whether it's behind a wheel or holding a firearm or whatever it is.
Exactly. So I was like, I can't believe. And so I had looked into, and I started my education with one of the other programs that was out there, but I really wanted to expand it. And they weren't, at that point in time, willing to do that. So I thought, you know what? I'm going to start my own. And that's exactly what I did. So our education program is called Get Active for Firearm Safety, and the ACTIVE are the pillars of what we advocate on.
Okay.
And I'll give you an example. Okay.
Yep.
I'll give you a couple examples. So the A is always securing guns in homes and vehicles. And then I brought even my talking points. I mean, this is what they all look like. I mean, I know the listeners can't see this, but basically what we do is we tell them why it is important to store their firearms. What does safe storage even look like?
Mm.
And then we talk about, you know, gun locks, lock boxes, and the things that make that important. We want to make sure that it's for self-harm. It's for theft. It's for, you know, safety of your own homes. And this is why it's important that you store those guns. And then C would be just another example would be like cultivating responsible behavior. What is responsible behavior? Well, that's training. You need to know the basics of how to handle a firearm. You need to know the laws that are within your state. So it is all around that of responsible storage.
And you know, again, to go back to this kind of phenomenon whereby everybody likes to be kind of placed into their little box and the tribal attitude we have to so many things, and gun ownership and gun control is no different. Do you then get met with suspicion by both sides? You know what I mean? Do some people kind of look at you on the kind of the pro-gun ownership side and they say, listen, at least it's a kind of a wolf in sheep's clothing here. Really, she wants to take our guns away. And vice versa, the other side, they think she's doing nothing for kind of the proliferation of guns.
Yes, I do. I actually am. Yes, I'm probably what they call the lone peacock out there that has my little feathers and I'm spinning around just all by myself. But yes, in reality, that's exactly what I am. I don't really fit into either side of the issue. So I just keep forging forward on my own, but I am building momentum. So one of the biggest things that because like I said, we've done so much work. I mean, and I do a little bit of legislative, but when we even testify for a bill, say on a legislative level, we look for specifically for bills like there was one that gave a tax exemptions for safety devices. Well, we're all supportive of that.
Yeah.
We want people to lock them up. So absolutely. Yeah. Give them a tax exempt, you know, so those are the kind of bills that we look for. Another one would have been they wanted to name August as Firearm Safety Awareness Month. Shoot, yeah. We want them to name August as Firearm Safety Awareness Month because what does that do? It gives law enforcement, it gives schools, it gives medical, it gives the community to be involved in coming up with campaigns around that month. So we are very supportive of that kind of stuff. When that bill, even the August bill, failed, we ended up turning our focus towards local governments.
Mm.
And so we got each one of the city here in Austin, we got Houston, and we got Fort Worth to all write proclamations naming August as Gun Safety Awareness Month. And we're trying to even expand that program as well. So this year we'll do more.
And have there been times, despite the reality, as you say, of kind of 245 million guns having been sold in the United States since Columbine, have there been moments since then in the wake of other shootings, be it Sandy Hook or Orlando or Vegas or anywhere else, where you've thought, oh, you know, maybe I should go a bit further down the road in terms of gun control and limiting the ability of people to buy them, that you could weigh in more on that side of the debate?
You know, not really, because, again, we're not going. Our job is to reduce. We're not going to eliminate.
Mm.
And so once you understand that the elimination is not going to be there, then it's time to how do we reduce these tragedies? And we give away free gun locks. I mean, that is what you can go straight to my website and you can request a gun lock and we will mail it straight to you. We also do programs, and I'm funded by the City of Austin. I mean, I have a grant with them, a big grant. And so a lot of the way I'm able to do things is because there is an Office of Violence Prevention here, and we are funded through that Office of Violence Prevention. And so, like, we've got this summer coming up, we will do a huge campaign giving away lockboxes this year. We have 240 lockboxes that the city purchased. We're going to be working with the Austin Police Department, and we're going to be doing a safety fair and giving away the lockboxes. We're working towards, again, staying in the realm of safety and understanding the reality of where we live.
And I guess to kind of bring us back around to the start, the reality is, had John not gone back to his friend's house, or had he gone back to his friend's house after the concert and the guns had been locked away and you needed kind of padlocks or codes or whatever, there were more steps they would have had to gone through to access the guns, and less likely they might have taken them out.
Correct.
And John might
that's
be here
bottom
today.
Line. Yeah. Bottom line, had that gun been stored away safely that evening, there was chances are that none of this would have occurred. And in the case of a lot of these accidentals, and even in the cases of suicide, have the guns stored away, then there's chances that we start reducing all those tragedies that are. And the other part of it is that we have to bring awareness and we have to bring education so that people understand, again, what does this look like? What can I do? Because these are things people can tangibly do. Mm. It's not just about, you know, going to your legislator. And again, legislation and all that is very important as well as a second phase or phrase, whatever you want to say. But this is something that everybody can participate in right now today.
Well, Lock Arms for Life is the name of the organization. If people want to Google it, they'll find out the details. I'm not sure the offer of a free lockbox extends all the way to posting them to Ireland. But listen, it's fascinating stuff, and it's interesting because I think a lot of people at home, Lisa, they're used into in the US context to hearing somebody advocate very strongly one way or the other. And again, to be that, how did you describe yourself, that lone peacock twirling in the middle? It's a nice image, and it's a brave place to be, maybe on your own. And it's sterling work as well. So listen, thanks a million for joining us.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me. And go ahead and reach out to, please sign up for our newsletter. We'd love to have, you know, the country everywhere involved with us. So we'd love it.
Lisa Ross, founder of Lock Arms for Life. Lisa, again, thank you very, very much.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.